Hello, this is David Johnson, creator and director of Death in Vaudeville. This time last year, we did an interview with Chris Gregory. He runs the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast, which does a lot of audio dramas and stories and poems and various things. He did an interview with us for an episode called Audio Drama Creators, a Special Edition. And this went out in July last year, so this was just before the release of Death in Vaudeville. With his permission, we have extracted the interview that we did from the whole episode. The whole episode is definitely worth a listen, and definitely the podcast is worth a listen if you are looking at audio dramas and want to learn more. He has a lot of podcasts that are aimed specifically at audio drama. So the interview that we did is quite detailed. We thought we would take the interview that we did with him from that episode as a standalone, as we felt it was important. Gave a lot of insight as to what we were doing, why we were doing it, and how we did it. So without further ado, please enjoy.
David Johnson and Jodie Jasmine Hicks of the Fenland Film Initiative are the creative team behind a new British audio drama podcast called Death in Vaudeville. We caught up with David and Jodie to learn more about Death in Vaudeville and the process of creating it.
My name is Jodie Jasmine Hicks and I am the producer at the Fenland Films Initiative, and I'm also one of the lead actresses in it. Outside of Death in Vaudeville, I'm a freelance producer, production manager, stage manager, kind of all that kind of thing. And I'm based in Martin, Cambridgeshire, so I'm born and bred in the Fens.
I'm David Johnson, and I'm the director of Fenland Films Initiative. I run my own media company, DMJ Imagery Limited, so I come with a lot of film and television background. I have a history in the military, or I was in the military for 22 years. I was heavily involved in imagery and photography, and so that sort of gave me a background in films and moving pictures as well. I am also based in a little town called Chatteris, also in the Fens.
David and Jodie, welcome to Alternative Stories. Can you start by telling us a little bit about the forthcoming audio drama podcast, Death in Vaudeville, please?
Yeah, it's a podcast that's set on two amateur detectives. Basically never had any experience before. They decide that they want to do some kind of true crime detective work, and they discover a unsolved death in the local town, and they use that as a launch pad to try and this new technique. So they then create this series of podcasts as we follow these two detectives around the region, trying to solve the murder or the death.
Yeah, so you kind of follow it in real time as they make these discoveries, so do you. I think the two characters are both quite young and convinced that nothing happens in their small Fenland town. And they soon discover that this is not the case. And there's a lot more going on than they first thought. So it's, you follow them as they make their discoveries.
Let's just think about the Fens for a moment, because a lot of people listening to this won't know much about the Fens, where you're speaking to us from, and where the drama is set. So can you tell us a little bit about what the Fens are, where they are in England, and what goes on there, please?
Well, okay. The Fenlands is an area of former wetlands. It used to be the seabed and encompasses most of northern Cambridgeshire, Lincolnshire, Norfolk, and a bit of Suffolk. And it's basically all the ground that's around about sea level. But a Dutch guy, Vermuyden, came over in the 1600s, 1700s, I think, and he basically drained all the land, reclaimed it, built dams and everything. So we've now got sort of additional land, which is used for predominantly agricultural land.
Yeah, and something to note as well is we have no cities. They're all small market towns, essentially. And it's incredibly flat. everyone who comes and visits looks around. You can't see anything. It's just fields and marshes and things like that. So it's got quite a unique landscape. Yeah, it's a very interesting and unique place for sure.
It's often described as the home of big skies because there is just nothing there to break the horizon.
Yeah, characterised by, as you say, I mean, huge expanses of very flat land, so you can actually see for miles. And they always talk about Ely Cathedral, don't they, the ship of the Fens, because you can see this cathedral for miles and miles away. And from a distance, it looks a bit like a ship on the sea, I guess.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us why you wanted to do some work in the world of audio drama rather than visual medium, please?
It seemed a natural progression. A lot of the films that I've done have all been predominantly or imagery based, which obviously makes sense. But when you're a small company and you're trying to do lots of different elements within the filming, my strengths were videos and editing. And I realized that sound wasn't my strong point. And I knew that I had to sort of enhance my skills. So I wanted to sort of basically take a step away from filmmaking and actually just concentrate on doing just the sound, the soundscapes, the audio side of it. And just so doing an audio drama was like the perfect vehicle to actually look at that as an entity in itself, which would then hopefully come back and marry to a film or something in the future.
And I think as well, we kept in touch over the pandemic, and there was a definite like frustration at not being able to make work. And the benefit of audio dramas and podcasts is the ability to do it remotely. So we were coming at this and like, what can we do? What is possible
to keep people safe and but just keep producing stuff.
So that's how we kind of came about with this podcast.
So Jodie, as an actress, what is it about audio drama that appeals to you?
I've done like various bits and pieces that are, I guess, like more theatre, which you could be playing to crowds of varying different sizes. And it's such a different way of thinking that I hadn't done before, where, you know, you make everything quite big and you're thinking about how your body's positioned, making sure everyone can see you. Whereas this is completely different. This is just stripping all of that away and it's just sound. So it was quite an interesting opportunity for me just to be able to be like, okay, this is the only thing that I need to really focus on here is how I sound and how Gemma would sound in the podcast. So I really, that really attracted to me to this because I was like, I haven't done anything like this before that's so specific as a, like a requirement as an actress.
How have you, and we've talked a bit about this, but how have you had to adapt your creative practices and techniques to work in this medium without visuals?
We've actually found it a lot better because obviously we're not having to look at the camera side of things. So technically it's been a lot easier. You know, we've only had to focus basically on just the audio and the recordings. And we've been able to work in smaller groups as well. So we've had more of a one-to-one or one to a couple of people, so we can sort of explain scenes in more detail, and we can then just record and just concentrate on just doing smaller scenes with people and then go back and then stitch them together with other people. So it's been a lot nicer and it's been a lot more controlled. I think that's working with films, it can be absolute chaos. And it's a really stressful environment and you've got everything going on, people running around, lots of people doing different jobs. And as a director, you're trying to stage manage everything, you know, the filming and the sound and the lighting and people and preparing the actors and then getting the next lot ready for the next scenes and making sure that they all know the lines. And it's a heart attack waiting to happen. It's, you know, as a lot of directors have gone through, it's just, so doing this has actually been a lot more relaxing. It's certainly not the same stress levels as it has been, so it's been more enjoyable for me, I think.
I kind of want to like tag on to that because I think when you work in theatre, you do quite an intense rehearsal process, you're straight into shows, everything happens very quickly. So for me, it took a bit of time to adapt to this slower pace of working because, you know, not everyone's in one place and you're like trying to get the most out of this time. It's kind of like, well, we've got X amount of people in the cast and it's everyone's in different places, other sides of the world. And it's just getting these different recordings from everyone, and that takes a lot of time, editing it all together. Obviously I don't do that, but David does. It's all of these things. It's such a long process. It's quite drawn out, and for me it was kind of like, well, this will take some time, and it's that bit of learning that, okay, it will take this amount of time, and just trust the process and that we'll get there. So yeah, it's just being like, okay, so I've got to take my theatre head off, where everything needs to be done now, and put podcast head on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. I would second and third that, actually, that part about the admin, which you completely underestimate, the you know, getting the lines to actors, auditioning and then getting the lines in and chasing people that haven't delivered and all that sort of thing. Mm. Just takes so much time, doesn't it? And I know that you went to great lengths in the recording of Death in Podville to ensure immersive and natural sounding scenes, including recording in different indoor and outdoor locations.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that recording process, please?
I've listened to podcasts. I'll go through more in the ones that I've listened to later on, but I'd listened to a few, and I've listened to ones that have been all studio based, and I've listened to ones that have been outside. And I thought there was a different kind of atmosphere. There was a different kind of feeling around it. It was more natural. And I liked that. And having the film background, I'm quite used to standing in a forest and film people and or go in different locations. That doesn't faze me. So I think some people might find that quite a scary thought, of taking people off into the woods and then film them or just to record them. That may be a challenge to some people, but for me that wasn't even second thought. You know, it was a case of, well, I do that anyway, so I'm quite happy to take a group of actors into the forest and then tell them what they need to do and get that real natural sound where they're interacting with nature or the surroundings.
And of course that comes with like so many challenges, because I have a very like vivid, really vivid memory of recording one scene that took about 2 hours. It wasn't even a very long scene, but it was quite an emotional scene. And because we had, it was one of the first ones we shot as well, so we hadn't quite got used to the form yet. And we thought we were quite remote, but we kept hearing random sounds, which really wouldn't have suited the podcast, come in. And that meant we had to go back to the beginning, because you can't just cut and start again, because you'll hear that the wind suddenly stops or the trees stop rustling. So we ended up recording this one scene loads and loads of times. I remember we got almost to the end. We were one line away and then we had to stop. And we were like, no.
Someone started a lawnmower.
Yeah. Oh, it's always lawnmowers.
We were like, ah! So yeah, it was... Because sometimes we'd be like absolutely fine, but that scene, for example, did take quite a long time, and you're very aware of fluffing a line, because you're like, I can't fluff a line because we'll have to go back, and you kind of create this psychosis where you're like, I can't mess up, and it makes you want to mess up more.
So we have decided to call this series The Body in the Woods.
Ooh, cue epic intro music.
In 1984... civil servant Kenny Goldsmith left for work as usual, saying goodbye to his wife Sharon, and left his home in Stevenage. 2 days later, his body was discovered in a forest near Cambridge.
Kenny Goldsmith comes up from London. He leaves his car in the car park at the beauty spot where there could be other people around, and he walks into the forest.
We thought differently and aimed to prove it was foul play at work. This wasn't a suicide.
A brand new audio drama that follows two amateur detectives.
Ah, here we go. This shows the road out to the beauty spot.
There must have been forests closer to him to use. That is odd, isn't it?
But as we investigated, we started to uncover more than we bargained for, and possibly opened up a door to something a lot worse.
What happened?
We made a couple of phone calls, and people from the government came.
Wow.
The area was sealed off, and many vans turned up.
Kenny was a case officer back then. He would research cases where there were breaches of policy.
It soon became clear that we needed to speak to those who were connected to the story at the time.
It went viral, 80s style. What I didn't expect was the police to file the report that mirrored what I made up.
You will end this. I will be home in 3 weeks, and I want it all gone by then.
We have to call the police!
What we didn't anticipate was that this investigation would catch the attention of government agencies far away from our sleepy town.
I'm not from here.
What are you doing here then?
A good question. I'm here on behalf of someone else. I would like to get in touch with you, talk to you about your investigation.
When I was attacked last week, everything came flooding back.
I don't recognise you anymore.
Please don't!
I'm Gemma Kingsley, and along with Marie Coulson, we are a pair of keen amateur crime detectives looking into unsolved deaths with our podcast.
The Body in the Woods was created by David Johnson and was a DMJ Imagery production for the Fenland Films Initiative.
I just hope you're not trying to make up sensationalistic reports about the town.
Download the podcast from your usual provider. For more details on the cast and the show, visit the website fenlandfilmsinitiative.com.
3 weeks.
So, David, listeners to Death in Podville can expect something pretty immersive then.
Well, I'm hoping so.
No pressure.
Places have a very distinct, unique sound, and you can automatically say where you are without having to tell anyone. So if you're in a cafe, you've got kettles and you've got cups and clanking and stuff like that. You automatically have sounds automatically for where you are. So when you go to places that are not quite distinct, that becomes quite a challenge then. You're trying to create a soundscape for places that you have to give them clues to start with, to say, right, we're in a church. So you then have elements within that to then build that picture, so people then automatically hear that as a church.
Did you do any overdubs, or was it all entirely natural recording on
location? A mixture, because not all the characters that would be in that scene were obviously there. So as long as we've got the original immersive sound of that place and some of the characters in that environment, it then gave us a baseline so we could bring someone in from America and then try and match tone and the resonance and the reverberations within their voices to try and blend as seamlessly as possible into that environment.
And I know that there's certain sounds that I recorded. I had the recorder and I took it with me to certain locations that suited where we were going, so we could kind of like do that and blend the two. So we tried to use as much as like original sound that we'd recorded as possible. So yeah, that was quite fun.
But Jodie, you became a sound design.
Apparently so, you know. I should put that to the credits.
Well, she said, right, I'm off to London for the weekend. I said, yeah. Right, there you go. There's the recorder. Go and record some London sounds.
London
is quite, it's quite distinct with the sound of the cabs and the buses and things like that. Yeah, Big Ben in the background, you know, you can place. We were talking about locations. That is an iconic location. So because we had one scene in London, it was perfect to actually have that as a background.
Mm. And Jodie, were you a fan of radio drama before Death in Podville?
So for me, I've come very late to the party, actually, because I was always someone that either read or watched stuff. Mm. So it definitely came about during like lockdown and stuff like that. And then coming out of it and doing long car journeys, I found podcasts were such a good way to pass the time, because when I listen to music, I kind of have this like tendency to just zone out. And I'm like, when you listen to a podcast, you have to stay focused. You have to listen. You're driving on a motorway and it just keeps your mind occupied. So I started to really come around, because before I was very much like, oh, well, podcast, it's not for me. And now I'm such a convert.
I'm sure we can give you lots of recommendations of things to have a listen to, but
we have listened to some of the episodes of Dex Legacy. You just point that out.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Nathaniel Dex character is not very good, is he? Can you tell us a bit about some of the other actors involved in the show, please?
Yeah, it was a very interesting process because we started off because we wanted to really focus on actors primarily in the Fens. Mm. So we knew people that I'd gone to youth theatre with, or some people that David had worked with in the past. So we reached out to those people first and said, would you like to be in this, because we're setting it in the Fens. It'd be really great to have your voices in it. And then we had some parts that we were umming and ahhing about, and we were like, shall we just put out a casting call? We're a completely new company. Shall we see what comes of it? So we put one out, and we were quite surprised. We had quite a lot of people applying. And what was more surprising is that most of them were from America. And we were like, okay, shall we see how it kind of goes? So we had a lot of auditions, actually, both of us over Zoom. And we were like, maybe we should have, a real mix of voices. We can, because originally we kind of, well, David had written it so that it was all Fenland-based people, but then we were like, actually, there's nothing set in stone here. There's no reason why this can't be changed, because if we've got these really keen, talented voice actors that are really engaged with this project, why can't we involve them, in the show? And that's kind of what happened. So now we've got a real blend of voices from where we live, but also like up north in Manchester, and then all sorts of places in America. And it's, I actually think it's all the richer for it. We've got some really interesting things going on, and it's tied into the story and all sorts, so it's worked out really well. Completely differently what we set out to, but we're really pleased with the results.
We did have to tweak some of the characters' backstories then, just to say, why is there an American influence? but that tied in, because we're in the Fens, we have RAF Lakenheath and we have RAF Mildenhall. So we have two American bases literally just 20 miles down the road. So it's not inconceivable that there are people who are Americans or American family descendants who live here.
So in terms of ambition for the show, series one, how many episodes are you looking to release for series one, David?
Series one is 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully that will then lead on to two more series. We're doing the idea is to do three series in total to tie up the whole story. Obviously it depends on how the first series is received, whether we go on to the next one, but it's just a part. It's a third of the whole story, so it has a natural beginning and a natural ending, so that's the plan anyway,
and some nice little cliffhangers along the way.
Excellent.
You got to sprinkle a few in, haven't you?
Well, it's funny that I actually had one of the pieces of drama that was actually in the middle of the series, and I just suddenly thought that would actually make a better cliffhanger, so I ended up shifting a whole episode to the end. And then had a big hole in the middle going, what do I do now? How do I then patch this hole without massively changing the storyline?
Yeah, yeah.
So it came with its own challenges.
I think we've all been there, to kind of put things in slightly different chronological order for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
It just remains, I think, to ask where listeners to this interview can go to find out more about Death in Podville and those involved in making it, and where we can follow you on social media and all that sort of thing.
Yes, so I have a handy list here because I was just when you're working across them and you're like, I need to make sure. So on Facebook we are Death in Podville, and on Twitter we are at Fenland Films. Mm-hmm. And Instagram is the Fenland Films Initiative. And we do have a website, which is fenlandfilmsinitiative.com.
And we'll put all of those links in the show notes of this podcast so that you can find them nice and easily.
Please do. There's many there's and no's at there's.
Trying to get some continuation across all the platforms has just not been.
Absolutely. No. David, when will it be coming out, or do you know when it's coming out at this point?
We are aiming for the last week in July. We do have a couple of technical elements that we need to finish. We are waiting for just a couple of little bits from actors to get back to us. So we're kind of just, we're on that wait, that fine line between getting it finished, but most of it's all done now, and it's just waiting for little bits to come back. And then hopefully as soon as, you know, we can get that done as quickly as possible, we can then, like I say, we can hit the deadline, which will be the last week.
And then weekly after that as well, so that we keep to that schedule, so people know when the next one is coming and they don't have to wait too long to find out more.
Excellent. Well, we will post links and retweet your social media tweets about it over at the Alternative Stories Twitter and Instagram feeds.
Thank you very much.
And we'll put links to those in the show notes of this podcast as well. But for now, David and Jodie, thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck with Death in Podville.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having us and for being a part of it, of course.
Yeah, being one of our stars.
Yeah, we haven't said that, had we?
Yeah, we haven't actually thought that you have a small piece in it. We'll say a small piece, but, you know, it could be important.
He sounds a little bit like Nathaniel Dex, but...
you play Gemma's father, so...
Yeah.
So this is father-daughter meeting.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether it would be mentioning my involvement and it would be an incentive for people to listen or put them off. So. But now we've mentioned it. So.